Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
We still on, Elder Oliver?
All right. Everybody's here. All right. God bless you. Amen. We're so grateful to be here tonight. This is your brother, Brother Omar Zachary, pastor of Praise Tabernacle Church, located at 877 North Clayton Street in the beautiful city of Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. And we would like to thank you once again for being a part of our Tuesday night Bible study. And I don't know about anyone else, but I have been so blessed and refreshed over the last few months or so of this teaching, these Tuesday night Bible study. Thank God for the leadership team that he has blessed our great church with. And tonight we're going to be led by none other than the one that we have nicknamed the Rabbi, a great Bible teacher, a great Bible scholar. And we thank God, we're grateful to God that he's on our team, and that's in the person, Elder Victor Bluett. Amen. And in a few moments, he's going to take us on through tonight. Before we give our prayer and turn his service over to his hands, we just want to solicit your prayers for our own sister, Evangelist Dove Stanton. She lost her father on last evening, and we got word early this morning, so she may not be on tonight. We ask that you would pray for Evangelist Stanton's family. Amen. We also want to solicit your prayers for one of our own elders of our local church, Elder Leroy Stokes. Amen. We want you to just call his name out in prayer. And each and every one of us, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. And just continue to pray and lift up Praise Tabernacle Church and the members and friends. And we thank God for Elder Derek Oliver and Lady Keisha Oliver and for the engineers of Chaos Blog Talk Radio. We're so grateful for this opportunity. We want to say a quick word of prayer, and the next voice you hear will be that of Elder Victor Bluett. I'm not sure if any of our team members are on tonight. We know Elder Taylor has a practice. He's a youth football coach, and he serves as a chaplain for the youth football team, so he's a little tied up tonight. Not sure if he'll be able to make it on either, or my precious wife. Not sure if she'll make it on tonight, but Elder Blewett, he can take it. He can handle it. He's a God man. So we just thank God for him. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We appreciate you. And we ask that you send your anointing now that makes teaching easy. Crown his head with wisdom and knowledge and fill his spirit that he may speak what is the oracle of you and what your people need on tonight. We thank you for another golden opportunity to witness and proclaim the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Service is in your hands, Elder Blewett.
Amen. 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 Thank you for Tuesday. Thank you for this day and each and every day that the Lord gives us. Thank you for that prayer, and I do say amen too. And thank you, Elder Oliver, for the platform you have given us. And thank you for all who are listening at this time. Tonight, I want to speak about or teach about the tongue, our speech, the words that come out of our mouth. And I want to come out of James, the book of James at chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, James chapter 3, verse 1. And this is, the writer is James, the brother of Jesus. The brother of Jesus. It has been said that he was counted with the apostles, but it's not definite. He wasn't an early believer, and his own brother, who was Jesus, but he later came online. He later believed, and he has a book in the Bible of his belief.
Yes, sir.
And he has a great book. I strongly recommend that you read it. It's a very short book, but it's a powerful book. So we're in James 3, verse 1. James 3, verse 1. So it reads as such, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So he starts off this third chapter talking to the brethren. Now, not the women, but the brethren, about not being many teachers or having many teachers, or even thinking about wanting to be a teacher.
Yes, sir.
My brethren, be not many teachers or be not many masters. And the masters in the history of this writing means teachers. My brother,
yes,
be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So what James is saying, that if you want to call yourself a teacher, or even if you're blessed of God to be a teacher, that where much is sold or much is given, you know, we have to give back. We have to tell people the truth. We have to be on point. We have to study. We have to give the people what they need, as in the Word of God, right? We can't enrich ourselves in our speaking of ourselves, but of the Word of God. So James was being quite clear about this to the brethren. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And God is coming to the church first.
Yes, sir. He's
coming to the church first with judgment. So you got to keep that in mind. Teachers and pastors and whatnot and leaders, got to be careful what you ask for. Got to be careful what you ask for. Got to be willing to put the work in. There was no greater area in which our actions and attitudes lead to separation, misery, anesthesy, fear, discouragement, than in our ways of speaking to others. Our words are powerful. We say that people speak what they're thinking, right? Some people do, but some people speak from what comes in from inside of them, right? Teaching in this section is designed to instruct the congregation in harmony and building one another up. So he put this out there, and he was talking to the 12 tribes. He put this out there for their churches to be in harmony, for their churches to come together in love. But you had people, as we do have now, that will use certain words and disrupt things, create chaos in the congregation. We have that today. We have that now
today. Yes, sir.
We have that now today. So this setting that James is talking about, when he's talking about masters, you had disciples of masters or disciples of teachers, and you even had disciples that were teachers, where they would come home at the end of the day in history, and they would come to one another's house or one another's home, and they would research or they would study the Bible. Even today, in modern times right now, we have those that want to be leaders and teachers that have their differences. If it's not an appointment from God, there's a difference because mankind has its own mind. So if it's not of God, then you have differences where you create a modern chaos in the church, where you have people
yes,
that
sir.
Get up in these up on the podium or they have the mic in their hand, and they'll be speaking about themselves or speaking that somebody keeps that somebody's telling them who they think they see, like they see the God in you, or the, you know, puffing themselves up. So we got to be careful as teachers. We got to be careful of promoting ourselves and not promoting God. We got to be
yes,
careful.
Yes, sir.
So James is saying, my brother, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Anybody got any questions or comments? You good, Pastor? You got something?
Yes, sir. No, you good, bro. Enjoying it.
All right, so we're talking about speech. We're talking about the tongue. So let's go to verse 2 of James 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, that same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. For in many things we offend all. So what James is saying, so like now, what we try to do in our relationships, husband and wife, or whatever relationship that is, friendship relationship, whatever relationship it is, what we try to do is not create issues of small things. Of big things. We try not to make huge mistakes. We try not to say the wrong thing. We try to take care of all the big matters. But life is built up of very small incidents in life. That one word you said, or the two words you said, or that small action, all those create the relationship. Not the big things in life, but it's the small things in life that add or contribute to the relationship of you and your wife or you and your friend. So for in many things we offend all. And sometimes we don't even know we're offending somebody. But are we taking the time to rightly say things, though?
Yes, sir.
When we hastily say things, it can be very detrimental to the party you're talking to. But your intent is not that.
Right.
And you can't take it back. So in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, if any man does not offend in his speech, if any man does not say nothing wrong to a man or a woman or anybody they're talking to, that he's a perfect man. And we know no man is perfect but Jesus. He was the only one that could speak, and it was right. So we're working toward perfection. We're working toward to be complete, right? But in our working toward it, we have to control our speech.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I know no man that's perfect. I know no man that has ever said everything correctly.
Right.
I know no man. And that's the reason why he said this in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, that same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. If we can control his tongue, we can control our body.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What you got, sir?
Oh no, I'm just screaming with you. Go on, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're in James 3. We're at verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So what James is really trying to do is bring out how something is large, keeping the reference on the tongue that's in our mouth. Right? Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And we know how powerful a horse is. So the example he's given, that if we would put something in their mouth, which is called a bit,
yes, sir,
it's a little rod with two leather straps on it that you hold on to. And when you pull it, the horse does whatever. If you pull left, it goes right. If you pull right, it goes left. But you can control the horse, the power of the horse, by his mouth.
Yeah.
Who's controlling our mouth?
Ooh,
and James, he phrased this beautifully in these few verses. And he uses the right picture that in our mind to get us to understand. A powerful horse is huge, too, and it can go wherever it wants. But if you put a bit in his mouth,
yes,
just
sir,
like if you put the word God in somebody's mouth, see, it changes their lifestyle. And the bit changes the habits of the horse, where it's controlled by the man. The word of God changes the habits of a person. And God pulls on the reins. God pulls on the bit that controls our bodies if we would let him.
Mm.
Wow. So verse 4. Behold, also the ships. See, he's using another large image. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So just imagine a ship that's huge. There's nothing we can do to push it. There's nothing we can do to will it to do anything. But if we... But in the last part of this verse where it says the governor listens, that's the pilot. That's the captain of the
uh-huh.
ship, of the boat.
Yes, sir.
And wherever
yes, sir.
He turns that wheel, that huge ship goes. So the emphasis here from James is that even something so huge and mighty as that.
Yes, sir.
Has a governor, a pilot, a man, a person that can steer it around. That can make it go any direction he wants it to go, even though it's huge. But it's
yes,
controlled
sir.
By all helm. It's controlled. Mm. And the emphasis here is can we control our small tongue versus our bodies?
Wow.
So this is where he's emphasizing. This is what he's trying to put out there to the congregation at that time. Can we control our huge bodies versus the size of our tongue.
Wow. Mm.
And he illustrates it by using huge objects that the smallest of them can be controlled. And if
wow.
we are smart and witty and wisdomed up and all this going on for us, we cannot control our tongue.
Yes,
it's
sir.
It's a shame before God. It's a shame before God that he has
yes,
given
sir.
Us something that we're wasting. The smallness of words in comparison with forces like factions, violence, and war should be noted. Yet as powerful as the forces of fighting may be, the path of war is steered by words. By words. If you pay attention to politics or you pay attention to the United States government and you kind of read into it and you look into it, you investigate how it works with forces, with governments around the world, there's communications, words. And if one country don't like what the other country is saying, there could be a war behind words. This is what James is illustrating here. Words.
Yes, sir.
Play a force factor in the world and in our lives. Words. You have some people that are very, very strong-minded. You have some people that are very strong-willed, that no matter what you say to them, they're not going to become unhinged. Now, the door may open on them, but they will not come unhinged. See? And that comes from what's down inside of you, in you, through your ear, tries to mess up what God has put in you. And see, when we get upset, when we get mad because somebody done said something wrong to us, we tend to forget what God is in us.
Wow. See?
That's when it's not rooted and grounded in you. See, if God is rooted and grounded in you, no matter what the storm looked like, you could still be grounded in it. See? And then if you are rooted and grounded in God, that God has given us to have this faith, if you are, we can still pop off with something we shouldn't say.
Come on, preacher.
So we have to work toward perfection. We have to work toward his face. And that's putting in the body work. That's the body working. That's the ship working against the helm. That's the horse working against the rider. See? So what James is trying to get us to understand is no matter how huge something is, it's controlled by something small. Case is our tongue. It's our tongue. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful. The governor of speech, which is the pilot, which is each one of us, holds the helm and has the power to steer relationships either for good or for bad. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody? Started off nice, and somewhere in that conversation, this, that, or the other was said, but you don't know what happened.
Come on, man.
Either something came out of your mouth, came out of theirs. And if you don't know what happened, then it came out of your mouth. See? So I'm not faulting anybody because none of us are perfect. And we're going to have those days to where we're going to pop off or we're going to say something to the extent of popping off. Are we going to say something where we think it's good and it's not? See, only God knows what we really need to hear. Only God knows how to settle our minds from his speech, from his word. And we got to be careful who we think we are, how we are prideful in different areas in our life, want to give advice.
That's right.
And it comes from what we think we know. And there's a saying that I've been hearing for years that where if I can't say a word, I'll just wave my hand. That also is body language.
Yeah.
And your body language, without even saying a word, can imply something.
Yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir.
So we got to control our tongue and our bodies. Just like James gave the illustration. Gave the illustration in verse 4, but also behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven in fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hand, whithersoever the governor listed. And that word governor means the pilot or the captain. So our bodies need to come under subjection as
well as
our tongue. You got anything, Pastor?
You know, I'm sitting, man. You're doing an awesome job as always. I'm sitting here thinking. Me and my wife was just talking the other day, probably yesterday or the day before. We was watching television, and this is something that happens almost every 4 years when it comes down to the presidency, the election, and things like that. We was watching a show, might have been sports or something, but. There's a commercial that comes up, and the commercial, whether it's against Joe Biden or against Donald Trump, you know, is one or the other saying something negative about the other. And then, you know, at the end, it'll say this whatever was sponsored or paid for by such and such and such. And I just couldn't help but think, you know, these are the same people that put their hands on the Bible and say, you know, we're going to do this or this, that, and the other. But you've been ridiculing, and this is, you know, for the Democrats and the Republicans. You've been ridiculing. You've been, I mean, some of them telling lies. They bringing up old stuff. And this is what we do, what they do for every election to try to make the other person seems worse off, you know, and not understanding, okay, if you got to stoop to that level, and we got to be careful even bringing it to the church, you know, oftentimes, that's why a lot of churches don't do testimony service no more, because it went from you testifying of the goodness of the Lord to you testifying of your business or testifying of some negative or throwing innuendos or, you know, throwing stuff out at people. And it's like, well, if you're doing this, how did God get the glory? You know, you're saying pray my strength in the Lord and giving unto God, but what you just said brought, you know, you throwing stones at somebody. So I'm so grateful for this tonight. I'm reminded of coming up in church, being born and raised in church. I've often heard it ain't what you say, it's how you say it, you know. And then a lot of us, we know how to be a new little slang word that the folks use now. We nice nasty. You know, yeah, you may not have fussed at them, but what you said cut them up. You know, you really, or what the world, another word the world use now is clap back. You know, you done clap back, and you really got at them. You was real nice, nasty about it. So that tongue, you know, if you learn to bridle and learn to bring it in, you can rebuke a person. You can even your own children, you know, you can straighten them out and get your point across without killing them. And a lot of times we kill folk and we forget to build them back up. We forget to encourage them. You know, as a pastor, I've probably I probably have never done that, because I know I'm a hard preacher. I'm a, you know, when I preach, I'm even in my teaching, I know I'm hard and I'm very, you know, in your face. I'm coming at you, but I try to be mindful that after I do that, to come back with some love and let you know, yes, you know, God don't like what you're doing, but He still loves you. So, and yeah, been pastoring 12 years, been preaching over 20 years. I know I haven't, like you said, Elder, I know I haven't gotten it right all the time, but you know, so I'm grateful that you're teaching this tonight to remind me, even as a pastor, you know, pastor of a flock, to, you know, be careful of the words that I use, because my words, you know, they can either draw people or they can drive people. So I'm grateful for what you're teaching on tonight.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Some people are not as strong as others, so we just got to be careful. And that's in our walk, like, period. Not just in the church. That's anywhere. That's anywhere. But great example. Great example. Great example. So we're in James 3, chapter 3. We're going to verse 5 now. James 3, chapter 5. I'm sorry, James 3, verse 5. Verse 5. And we're talking about the tongue, talking about words. And if we're careful how we say things, that means we love people. We're considering people. And we're considering ourselves. So verse 5 of James 3. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So, for example, say you got a great speaker that can get the crowd moving. He may start off real low in his tone. He may start off a little slower, but he's a great speaker. Keep that in mind. So he's kindling goodness in you, so to say. Or he's kindling a little interest in you to listen. So it's just like throwing a cigarette out of a window or starting lighting one little piece of wood on fire, kindling, starting the fire. He's starting the fire. Even so, the tongue is a little member. So he uses the example of, even though it's a little member, but it boasts great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. So this speaker, he done started low, he's speaking low, and as he gets into his speaking, he crescendos, he gets louder, he gets faster.
Right.
He's illustrating physically in his talking. So the fire that he kindled, or he started when he started in the beginning of his speech, is now blazing up. It has not devoured yet, but it's blazing up. And it's just like in our lives, how we set an example on one thing, kindling something, and set the example a different way to somebody else with the brush fire. And it's just like how we think a little sin is permissible. Uh-uh. That little sin is kindling fire. That
yes,
if you
sir.
Keep on sinning, that sin is going to turn even greater. That sin is going to have God to start looking at you and start writing your actions in his book. See? So don't think that we're getting away with something in the darkness. And that don't necessarily
watch
mean you're in the dark somebody something. You can be in the pulpit or you can be on a stage. In darkness means in evil ways. In evil ways, in darkness, that God will show what you said or did in the light. So don't just think that when you're behind closed doors, that's the darkness that God is talking about. That darkness can be out here where the sun is at high noon, but you're speaking evil in darkness, as in darkness. So even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So in our conversations to one another, in our conversations to people, be it at work, be it at church, be it with your wife or your husband, your friends, your family, be it with anybody, you know, you start the conversation and it's going good. You say one word and it's kindled, meaning there's something that's going to start, something's going to pop off. And it all depends on what you say and how that person responds, or what that person say and how you respond, if that fire is going to get higher or it's going to start into a brush fire. So we got to be careful with these words, because these words can start situations we had not anticipated. See? So our tongues, our speech, our words can take us off course. See? And I don't care what you had planned, because what you just said changed those plans. So times we disrupt our own lives.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Because of what we felt. And that's not a feeling that God places inside of us when we do things like that. So, see, most of us need to always quote what the psalmist says and let the words of my mouth.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Of our heart be acceptable in thy sight. See, that's what we need to meditate on for those of us who can't control our tongue.
Yes, sir.
So on Sunday, well, I'll get to that in another verse. I ain't going to say that right now. So we have to be careful. We really do. And if you would think hard enough, and some of us don't have to think that hard, about conversations we done had that didn't go the right way.
That's right. That's right, man.
And you know why it didn't. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. So we're in James 3. We're at verse 5 and to go into 6. I'll read 5 and then we'll go right into 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Behold how you just made a statement, and now you got a fight on your hands. Behold how you made a statement, and that person that went and committed suicide, because when they came to you, they came for exhortation, they came for help, they came for advice, and trying to talk to you about what they was thinking about doing. See, we got to stop being prideful for what we think we know. Sometimes we got to shut up. Sometimes we got to be quiet. Sometimes we got to let people speak. Instead of always speaking our mind.
That's right, man. That's right.
Sometimes we got to listen. That little tongue that's in our mouths can set a fire. That you don't,
right.
That you're not anticipating, and an unexpected fire is without a fire extinguisher. An unexpected fire can have you to lose your life. An unexpected fire can have you to lose your It can have an unexpected situation that you're not even ready or mature enough to deal with. Just from what you said. All right. So verse 6 of James 3. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And, you know, growing up in South Central L.A., I've had millions of conversations. I know about iniquity. I know about doing wrong. I know about trying to pep somebody up to let's go do this, that, or the other. I can't name it. I don't want to name it. Ain't going to name it. But to compel somebody to go do this, that, or the other. Or I'm getting compelled to do this, that, or the other. By words that are being spoken. Tongues.
Wow.
Among our members, among our bodies, among our congregation, amongst the people. See? That it defileth the whole body. Why would we let our tongue, which is almost the smallest thing in us, almost the smallest organ on us, destroy our body? Now, what do you mean destroy our body? Forever burning in hell and can't burn up.
Come on, bro.
You know what hell is? It's a separation from God for eternity. And you'll never get over the feeling.
Yep.
Ever. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fire of hell. Now, it's even against nature the way we use our tongue, the way we speak, and the way we put people down, the evil that we speak of people. It's against nature.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's against. And he's using nature as a backdrop to get you a vision, for you to see something here. So nature, you never hear a lion barking wrong at another lion. Or growling wrong at another line. You never hear a dog barking wrong. I'm just saying they're communicating.
Yep.
And it's natural. We're unnatural when we do evil things and that come out of our mouth. It's
right.
Unnatural.
That's right.
God didn't build us that way.
That's good.
He didn't make us that way. It's unnatural. And it shall set, and it is set on fire of hell. It's nowhere to go. It's nowhere that you can go from hell. Or if you're headed that direction and you're still living, now you can ask God for repent. You can repent and ask God to save you. That's fine. He'll do that. Don't be in that direction and you die.
Right.
Because of things you said that brought reparations onto you from somebody you just said something to.
Yeah.
I'm
explicitly
talking about speech. I'm talking about our words. I'm talking about how we just say things, how we just, you know, our actions, our body language is a language also, how we do things. And if we really, really sat down and meditated and thought long and hard about how we really do things, you will see something wrong in how you did certain things.
That's
all
right.
Of us.
Amen.
Jesus is the only man. Did not offend in words, and he was a perfect
Amen.
Man. He is the only one.
Amen.
So we're not perfect. So I can rightly say that we do things wrong by saying things wrong.
Yes, sir.
If not, our not always, but we do it. And some of us don't have don't have the guts to even take it back.
That's right. Won't even apologize.
Won't even apologize.
Right.
Just let it rip and roll. But yep. In all actuality, you can't take it back because the person heard it and it got to them. But what you can do is just say, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Is it going to stop the hurt? It might not. Is it going to ease the hurt? It probably can. It probably can. So, verse 7. Verse 7 of James 3. And we're talking about the tongue. We're talking about speech. We're talking about words. We're talking about how it applies to people that hear us speak and how we may be hurting them. Not intentionally all the time, but it does. So verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of who? Mankind.
That's it.
That's crazy. That's crazy right there. That's crazy. We can tame wild animals, birds and whatnot. We cannot tame the tongue.
Come on, bro.
And it's the same tongue that's taming other things.
Yes.
A world of iniquity. For every kind of beast. And James is using illustrations of animals and nature. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame.
Come on, bro.
That's crazy. When I was reading this, and I've read this a lot. I mean, over the years, I really never really, really looked at it. But the tongue can no man maintain. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. How many people you ever been around, you just can't stand to be around because of how they talk?
Come on. Teach, man. Teach.
How many people annoy you when you even see them coming or you see their name on your phone? Because of what they're going to say, how they say things, the subjects they always bring up.
Yes, sir.
How many? The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, if the people that annoy you, keep calling you or knocking on your door, they must think they got something in common with you.
Come on, bro. Come on.
See? They might think they got something in common with you because they may think you talk the same way.
Yes.
But on Sunday, you talking about praise God.
Yes.
And on Monday, y'all buddies. And you know that person can drag you down. Why? Because you flop with the birds of a feather flop together.
Yes, sir.
You see, you don't want to accept the relationship they're trying to have with you. Because that person sees that you got something in common with them. And what that is called is that we're not looking at ourselves. We're not sitting down.
Wow.
We're not sitting down in the evenings when we get home and meditating on our days.
Yes.
We're not thinking about how our day went. We're not thinking about the people that we met. What came of that? What was the conversation? How did it turn? We're not doing that. We're moving so fast right now, but our fastness to not think about our godliness can fastly put us in hell. I'm telling you what I know. Sit down and consider your ways some days of the week.
Yes, sir.
You hadn't been doing it. Start doing it once or twice a week until you start doing it every day.
Yes,
sir. Consider how you treated yourself that day. Consider how you treated somebody that day. Consider if you even had patience for somebody that day. You got anything, Pastor?
Doc, you're on a roll, Doc. One thing that crossed my mind I know your family does the same thing that my family, we love going to Orlando. And my wife can tell you, I like going to Magic Kingdom and Universal and Island of Adventure. Though, you know, I like going there, but I love going to SeaWorld. I can go to SeaWorld every time we go to Orlando because the scripture you just read, James talks about how God has given man dominion and authority and power over over the beast of over the creatures in the sea, over birds. And I mean, if you go to SeaWorld and they got the dogs, they got the dolphins, they got birds, they got the big killer whales, and all of these animals and fish, all of those are under the authority. I mean, they act, they jump out the water, they fly. I mean, and all of it is at the tongue or the speech or under the authority of man.
Of man.
And it just, of man. And I'm just, you know, just to see how the scripture is fulfilled that God has given man dominion. That's it, man. That's what crossed my mind. You know, we'll say something like, I just had to say it. I had to get it off my mind. I had to get it out. No, you did not just have to say it. You said because you don't have power over your tongue. You don't have power over your body. You have not grown or matured to the point where you can bring your tongue under subjection. So, man, that's it, man. That's it.
That's good. That's good. That's right on point. So now, from verse, we're going to go just to 12. So from verse 1 to 8, James has been talking negatively about the tongue. So we're in James 3. From verse 1 through 8, he's been talking negative about the tongue. We know there's another side. Let's go into it in verse 9. So, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And now, we can bless God. So evil doesn't, let me say this before I really get into verse 9. The tongue is not evil. Let me say that again. The tongue itself is not evil.
Come on.
What comes out of us through the tongue is evil. See? You got some folk that will say, oh, yeah, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank God for saving me. You know, that's what's coming out of them. That's what they bless God with, verse 9. That's what they blessing God with. Giving praise to God, giving honor to God. Well, what they're saying, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. So what James is saying, even to treat a person wrong is as if you're going against God. Because God has created us in his image. Image of him has he created us in his likeness. So I don't care if you're talking to somebody that's saved or unsaved. If you're cursing that person, you're cursing God. Because God created them. Keep that in mind. So going back to the tongue, which is what he's referring to. You can't say I bless God and curse man. You can't say that I curse man and on Sunday bless God. Can't do it. You can do it, but it ain't going to work. You can do it, but it ain't right. You're lukewarm. And God is looking to spit out anything that's lukewarm. Don't put yourself in that position when you got the power now to change how you are. Ah, So therewith blessed we God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And there's a lot of, you know, I wasn't raised in the church, but I've been in the church long enough now to know that you can have some pretty nice folk in church, pretty nice people. I mean, just good to go. Shake your hand, give you a hug, ask if you need anything. They'll accept
right,
what you
right.
give them. Some won't even accept a gift. They'll accept what you give them or say, they don't, you know, I'm good or whatever. You got some good folk in church.
Yep, that's right.
You mess around and piss off somebody. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. I thought they was good. I thought they was a good Christian. I thought they loved the Lord. You mess around and say something to them that pissed them off. And we're going to, and I'm saying it that way because our last three verses is going to get into that. You say something to somebody you thought was all right, was all good. You say something wrong to them. They might even curse you. They might even say all evil of evil about you. They might spread your name around for a conversation you had with them. That's how quick they turn. That lets you know they ain't had a love of God in them. See? We know how to dress up. We know how to show up. We know how to go through the motions of praise and worship. We know how to go through the motions of telling the preacher, preach, boy! We know how to inspire the preacher. We know how to do all that church stuff.
That's right. That's right.
And we do it by habit. No, we do it from the way we learned it, what works in the atmosphere at that time. We learn that. But by habit, we evil. That we've been practicing that longer than we've been going to church. So I think David said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. I think it's that way.
Yes, sir.
Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Therefore, the
yes,
tongue
sir.
That I said earlier was not evil. What's in you is evil. That would have the tongue to say things to hurt you. So if you think
right.
you got it, if you think you're doing good, and you can say something to somebody that's going to hurt their feelings intentionally, what you said was in you ain't in you. I'm just being point
Come
blank.
Come on, bro.
In
Come
you.
On.
It ain't in you. Because if you can readily just pop off at the mouth, it ain't in you. Mm-hmm. You ain't even trying to do the right thing.
That's right.
See? And I said earlier, no man is perfect that something wrong won't come out of their mouth. No man is perfect that something wrong will not come out of their mouth. No man is perfect. If you find, now see, if you've been practicing, if you've been believing in God, if you've been trying to do right, if you've been trying to strive for perfection, if you've been trying it, if you're working on it, it's not going to readily just come out of you like that.
Right.
And if you're just right. doing it on Sundays, it's going to come out on Monday. Matter of fact, it's going to come out when you get to the parking lot. See? So we got to work. Not only do we have to bridle the tongue, but we got to work on the body.
That's right.
That the tongue houses. The body houses the tongue. So we got to work on our speech, on our words, work on ourselves from the inside out. So create in me. Renew in me a right spirit. All this is from within. We have to ask for this. We have to want God to help us. Don't take it for granted that you're going to make it to heaven.
That's right.
See, the Jews, when they wouldn't accept Christ, when they wouldn't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and they still wanted to go about their ways, I'm going to tell you what God did. And this is when faith came in. It's when he sent Paul and the apostles to the Gentiles, to the people that were not
mm-hmm.
Jews, to try to
That's
provoke
right.
them to come back to God.
Yes, sir.
You know how you've been so good in church? You've been there 20 years. Somebody come in and start working in the church, and now you pissed off because they're doing a work you should be doing? It should
come on,
promote
bro.
Jealousy for you to start working.
Come on.
And when you see somebody that's always nice, always speaking right, ain't upset real fast, just dealing with it, agree to disagree with you, and just working with you, that ought to promote you to do better.
Right.
And when you put them down first, what's in you ain't in you. And what's in you is not of God.
Sure.
I'm just being frank about it. And I'm talking about all of us. I ain't pointing no fingers. I'm talking about all of us. We're all a work in progress with this tongue, with the words that we speak, what we meditate on. We're all a work in progress. But as you work more and more at it, the less effort you got to put in to not do wrong. It's a work in progress. Some of us are on milk. Some of us aren't on meat. Some of us are babes in Christ. Some of us are mature in Christ. But if we
right.
put all that together, we can help each and every one of ourselves. We can help and lift each other if we put all that together. So in the beginning, where
right.
it said, be not many masters, be not many, try not to be many teachers. See, and I, we got to get ready to get out of here. I can't keep going. Let's go to verse 11.
Teacher.
Verse 10 and verse 11. Out of the same mouth of blessing and cursing, my brother, these things ought not be. How is that even possible? If you really think about the word of God, if you really think about who God is, if you really think about the character of God, the likeness of God, the image of God in Jesus Christ, if you think about all that and you rightly put it into its proper perspective, why do we curse? And then why do we bless? You know it's not right.
Sure.
I'm challenging each one of us tonight to work on ourselves, to try to do better. Whatever you try to do, God will help you succeed in it if you truly want to do it. Stop thinking that you don't have no help. There are people around you that can help you. There's God that's
right.
around you can help you. Ask for Jesus to come into your life to strengthen. See, we can do all things through Jesus, but we can't do all things through us. So if we got a problem with speaking to one another, if we got a problem with what our tongue says, we can't help it. Ask Jesus to come in and strengthen you, to help you, to hold things together for you. Let him be the foundation of what you're stepping on instead of your own foundation where you're going to fall off of.
That's right.
The tongue will and can send you to hell. Every
right.
word that we have said that is not of God has to be answered. Every word that we have said that is of God is taken into account. But we can't have it both ways, to where you can cuss me today and praise me tomorrow. You can't do that. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. So verse 11, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can blessings come out of you and cursings, and they all mean all benefit? No. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, it's going to either be bitter or it's going to be sweet. It's either going to be water to make stuff live, plants live, or it's going to be salty water to make plants die. It's going to be either or. And if they both come together, nothing lives because the salinity is still in it. So see, you can't mix evil with good. You can't mix salt with fresh water. The salt or the evil is going to overpower the pure. You have to be careful. Have to be careful. I can't say that enough. You have to be careful what comes out of your mouth. Every word is accounted for. Even though God says he has a book, he don't need a book. Because he just heard you say it just now. A thousand years is just one day, and one day is a thousand years. That's not saying that that's the way it is. That's just metaphorically talking. That was just an example given by who was that said that? Peter? I think that was Peter. So we have to be careful. Our time is short on this earth. Our time is short compared to what's going on around us. Our human time is short. We only have so many days in the eyes of God to get things right. We have so many days in our relationship to keep them right. We have so many days in our friendship to keep them right. Time is of essence right now. And with this pandemic going on, and we're even speaking more now, instead of being and seeing each other, but we're speaking more now, we have to be careful even right now. And as Pastor was talking about on the political side, about the vice president and the president on their debates and what they're going back and forth on, those are words. And that's exactly what I'm talking about tonight. So Trump is out there throwing stuff out there about Biden, and Biden is saying things about him or whatever. But those words are planted. They're seeds, and they grow, just like in our relationships. Even to God himself, what we say to God grows. It's a seed. What we say to our wives and husbands is a seed. It's going to grow. Meaning you cannot dig that back up. You know, through that seed, you know, through that word out there, it's planted. And you don't even see how it hit the ground. You don't see how it hit the heart. You don't see how it hit that person's mind. But it's planted. It's planted. See? You got anything, Pastor, before we go to the last verse?
No, Doc, you working, man. I'm getting so many comments, bro. People are being blessed. Go ahead. Do what you're doing. Great job.
Thanks, sir. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? That's against the laws of nature. God created, God created salty water for its purpose. God created pure water for its purpose. And they can't come out of the same body. Blessings and cursing shouldn't come out of the same body. So the last verse, verse 12 of James 3. Verse 12, James 3, verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brother, and he's using the of what the people see. He's using metamorphosis of what the people see. Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Can't do it. You can't have a body on this earth that's living. Bless God and curse man. It goes nowhere. It goes nowhere. If we don't have nothing good to say, we need to be quiet. And I'm being point blank. We need to just be quiet. I would rather be thought as a fool than to open my mouth and convince somebody that I am a fool.
That's good. That's good.
But you got pride. They can't shut their mouth. They got to say it. They got to put it out there. Have you ever thought about that you ever had a situation where you thought you're almost winning someone over? Especially on a job, if you're in management and you got people that work for you, that you're almost winning them over. You almost got them to where they need to be in their career, and you mess around and say something. That's the same thing with relationships, husband, wives, wives, husbands, kids, even kids. You can't say the same thing to every child. If I got five kids, I have to speak to them differently to get what I need out of them, to produce what I need out of them. See? So, there's no perfect man but Jesus. And abilities that you can't do something stop you from striving to do something. So it's impossible for us to be perfect, but it's not impossible for us to work toward that direction. And that's what God wants. We have to strive for it. We have to work for it. every day is not going to be perfect. Every day we're going to be confronted. We're going to be tormented. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to have some things done in our bodies and in our minds from the world. It's coming. Jesus said it would. But what's in us makes the difference on what's attacking us from the outside. Your inside corrupts somebody's inside. Your inside could be evil by the way you speak, what comes off the tip of your tongue. But what comes out of us should be pure love, appreciation, attention, the attributes of God, the likeness of God should come out of us. Read just one verse, then we're done. So over in Psalms 51, and I think I mentioned it earlier, we need to practice saying this, rehearse this in our lives. Where David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O
yes,
God,
sir.
And renew a right spirit within me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight."
Yes, sir.
David was real when he said it. We got to be real when we say it. We got to stop being lukewarm. We got to stop it. If your life should end right now and you lukewarm, God will spew you out of his mouth. Spew you to where? To hell. Eternally separated from God forever. So just keep in mind what we say. Keep in mind how we react. Watch our body language. Call somebody and apologize if you need to. Set things right. Keep it moving. Strive for perfection. We're not perfect, but we should strive for perfection. I mean, working toward it. What tripped us up today shouldn't trip us up tomorrow. That's what I mean by working with it. What we said last year shouldn't be said again this year. But with all thy getting, get an understanding. Find out where you are in the place of life. Better yourself. Get into your scriptures. Get that help that you need. Study your scriptures and walk on the word of God. Amen. I'm done.
Wow. Wow. Great job, Doc. Great. Oh, man, what a word. What a word. Great. As my daddy would say, it's two times I want to preach, two times I want to teach, when somebody get up and they can't, and when someone get up and they can. Great job on tonight. Watch our words. Watch our tongue. And I think we all can. I've had so many comments while you've been teaching. I think this hits everybody. It's just the truth. It hits us all. Husbands, wives, children, siblings, co-workers, employees, employers. Just let's be mindful. Let's be mindful. The old saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. But we know that's not the truth. It all depends on who it comes from. You know, and I say this often, and I'm not going to reteach it. You've done an excellent job. But I say this often. People that are not members of Praise Tabernacle, they can say all day that I'm a bad pastor. I'm not a good pastor. And it really don't mean too much. But if the members say that I'm not a good pastor, that holds a lot more weight. On the other hand, people outside of my home can say I'm not a good husband and I'm not a good father. And it don't mean too much. But if my wife says I'm not a good husband, and if my children say I'm not a good father, it carries a lot more weight. So just encourage everybody tonight. We thank you so much. I know you've been blessed. One of the commenters, Elder Bluette, was saying when you was talking about Christians and how we act, talking about prank phone calls. I know there's a couple of guys, Nephew Tommy and Ricky Smiley, that do prank phone calls to preachers and deacons and mothers of the church. And the Lord knows some of them folk, they cuss so much, they cuss, and then they'll say, "In Jesus' name," or, "I don't really do this, but you done pushed me."
So let's be mindful. Yeah. Let's always be on guard, because it was the tongue from the beginning. It was the tongue that got Adam and Eve to fall away from God. It was the tongue. It was the word that the enemy used that caused us to be separated from God in that manner. So thank you, man. Thank you. I know the people of God have been blessed. Praise Tabernacle. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Chaos Blog Talk Radio, thank you so much. All our listeners from all over the country, we thank you so much. Listen, before we close and give the benediction for tonight, we want to remind, I know Elder Oliver reminded everyone on last night, but we want to remind you again, this is our second week of our seven-day challenge for each family to say a prayer, to pray, have family prayer at the end of the night. I'm headed home right now. I'm trying to eat a little bit. And then before we jump into bed, I'll be doing my family prayer. Grab a circle, get your family in a circle if you need to, or fall on your knees, or however you need to pray. We want to challenge you to get your wife and children, or your husband and children, or if it's just your husband and wife, or if it's just you and your children. Pray tonight before you go to bed. Give God thanks for another day that he allowed the family circle not to be broken. And we thank you for that. We also want to solicit your prayers for Evangelist Stanton and her family in the death of her father. And also one of our brothers, Elder Stokes, we're soliciting prayer for him. Call his name out in prayer. Sister Asha Bluett, we're getting word that she's almost fully recovered, and we're grateful to God. So let's continue to intercede for her. And little brother Adore, my nephew, these are some of the ones that we know, and the Ingram family in the death of brother Ingram, these are some of the ones that fellowships with us, some of the ones we know, family and friends, that we solicit your prayers. Thank you so much for tuning in another night. We're going to meet you back again Thursday night with Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Tune in. Don't you miss out. It's going to be part two. It's going to be part two of the sermon, Use What You Got. Amen. You better tune in. If you miss Sunday morning first part, we'll highlight a little bit from Sunday morning, and we're going to pick up and try to get to the conclusion of the matter, preaching from the topic, Use What You Got. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again. We pray now that you restore the virtue that has been issued out by your manservant. We thank you for that great, powerful, anointed word from you on tonight. Teach us, God, to bridle our tongue. We want to be able to speak clearly. We want to be able to speak life. And we're just thanking you for your word coming on tonight and reminding us that we have to give an account for every idle or unprofitable word that proceeded out of our mouth. Help us to bridle our tongues. We thank you for the message and the messenger. We pray that you would continue to touch his wife and his children, his grandchildren, all those that are connected to him. And as we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you. Until we meet again, go in God.
Presence of the Lord.